Today, we will read from Jeremiah chapter 29, and this will lead us into some discussion today about our church as we just reflect back over last year, and then over the next coming couple Sundays, as we begin to ask the question, where is God taking us as a congregation? We will continue to see changes, and we will continue to learn and grow. But we also have an opportunity to not only reflect and give thanks, which we did some last week, but also an opportunity to ask, where is God taking us? So I thought to set the stage for this, I would share a letter. A letter that came from Jeremiah that was sent to Jerusalem with the people that were in exile there. And we're going to read through this first portion of this letter, and then I want to connect that to where we are today and help us to identify ourselves in this passage of Scripture. This is the text of the letter, starting in Jeremiah chapter 1, or chapter 29, verse 1. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles, and to the priests and the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiachin and the queen mother and the court officials and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the craftsmen and the artisans had gone into exile from Jerusalem. He entrusted the letter to Elisha. Even after a master's degree, biblical names are tough.
Elisha.
Good. Paul's going to help me. And Shaphan, and to Gemariah, the son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. It said, thank you, Paul, for help with pronunciation. That's just not in the original text. It said, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat that produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and daughters, and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and the diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you have encouraged them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed in Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my gracious promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then you will call upon me and come and pray to me. And I will listen. And you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord. This letter was written to the exiles of God's people. To understand what that even means, we'd have to understand Israel's history of constantly being a people who had been taken captive by other nations, separated from their homelands, and placed into foreign cities with foreign people, doing the bidding of that kingdom. It was hard to be a people of God, to live in a place that was not their own. And yet here the prophet is saying that this is what the Lord says. In that city that is not your own, live, be fruitful, enjoy life. And in that city that is not your own, pray for the peace of those who hold you captive. What a counterintuitive message for God. That instead of saying rally and revolt, go on your hunger strikes, forbid to follow any of the legislation of the land, choose to be rebels, that God would say to his people, live in that land and pray for that city so that it can have peace. And as it has peace, so will you. Where do we find ourselves in that message today? As the church, none of us are exiles living in a foreign land. We are a people of this community. Whether born and raised here or born and raised in other parts of the country, we're not exiles here. But we also, when we come to this community of faith, we realize that this world is not our home. We have come to Christ knowing that there is a land that is ready for us to welcome us, that is very different than where we're living here, a land in which we live in full authority of God and in His rule and reign in heaven, where there's no more mourning and no more pain. We know that we are living for that day, but yet we live here too. And unlike some who may just feel like once you have come to Christ, your work is done, and we just kind of await death, we maintain until we get to heaven, I believe when we come to Christ, we are called to engage in the city that is not our home in such a way that it is our home. That we marry, that we have gardens, that we work, but we work not just for ourselves, we work for the peace of our city. This is why I believe with all my heart, and why we have talked about this from the starting of the church, that we would be a people who would ask the question of God, why have you put us here, and how can we use our gifts to serve others? I remember very early on, as we talked about names for the church, and we are entering into, at the 1st of February, we will be 9 years as a church. The 1st of February will mark the beginning of that search for a name. What would we call this gathering of people? There are a lot of cool names out there. And as our launch team, as we started talking, we thought of a lot of really cool names. I can't even remember most of them. We thought of a lot of really cool names. Names that would stick out and people would take notice of that name. And I know there's a lot of great churches that have great names. Triple X Church. There's actually a Triple X Church. There's 33 Church. I don't know why it's called 33 Church, but it's called 33 Church. There's churches with really cool names. There was a church called Scum of the Earth. Cool name. I don't know that I could have called us that, but that was still a cool name. To think a church for people who everybody else would think were the scum of the earth, and yet God doesn't. What would our name be? What would name us the thing that I had felt so long being in ministry for so many years, what is the thing that I felt like the church was really supposed to be? So after some time in prayer, I took this name, Christ the Servant, to our leadership team. It's not the name we usually think of. In fact, if you Google it, there's only a couple Christ the Servants in the Midwest. There's plenty of Christ the Victors, but there are only a couple of Christ the Servants. I didn't feel like I needed to be the victor over my community. As we prayed together and talked together as a launch team, we felt like we needed to be servants in our community. But we also knew that God had called us to a specific community. And I didn't need grand visions of becoming a regional megachurch. I'd been there. I'd done that before. But we didn't need those grand visions of becoming that place that people from all over the region would drive past other churches to come to. The reason? Because I believed firmly that we were to be planted in a community and get to know that community and make a difference. We've been offered buildings to meet in. One person talked about us meeting in North Overland Park. Could use a retail space. And I wrestled with that for all of 30 seconds. And I thought, why would we want to drive all the way to North Overland Park to meet for a church when we knew the names of school teachers and the names of staff and the names of individuals that live right here within a few miles of this location? So I believe this passage has to do with us, to remind us that we are to live here, to plant our gardens, to have our families, to pray for the peace of our city, and to engage in the work that brings peace. Knowing all the well that God desires to prosper us, not financially. I'm not saying finances are out. Would love to have financial prosperity. But if I put that next to prosperity when it comes to relationships, prosperity when it comes to a place that people can come and feel like they belong, then I would take that prosperity any day. We talk about this sometimes when I'm with folks that I work with in the community. In Strengthening Families, we've talked about this a lot during trainings. Poor families can raise wonderful children. Poor families can make a difference in their own schools. Poor families can be leaders in their community. Prosperity is not about the money in our pocket. It is about the mission that God has sent us on. That mission should prosper. Jeremiah's letter says this, that God plans to prosper you and God has hopes for your future. Last week we talked about the things that Christ the Servant had done and kind of our highlights and, for lack of a better word, our lowlights from this past year. And as we continue to move forward in just sharing who we are as a church and what we've been doing, I'd like us to continue with another question and give you all an opportunity to share things that were important and why in this last year. Last week, I want to remind you of some of the things that we shared when we talked about looking at last year's highs and lows, our barbecue and our cookout and Cedar Lake and Thanksgiving dinners, the Fall Festival, how it built fellowship and relationships, We talked about our missional work from the College of Trades and Strengthening Families. And we talked about ways that we were engaging together in the mission of the church by just raising money at a garage sale. All of these things, what we discovered in all of these things was the power of relationships that were happening. We reflected on having childcare. And we talked about the things that we have been doing to increase just our connection through fellowship times. And what the team has been doing that's been really giving us opportunities to be together on a regular basis. One of the words, phrases that came out was that we have open doors and open hearts. That we're a place that desires to be accepting. What I want to do today is I want to reflect back on this year and not necessarily comment on good, bad, or indifferent, but I'd like to talk about the ways we've been engaging in our community, both within our community here within the church and also outside in our community, in activities and things that we've done outside of this building and when we're not all together. And so what I thought I would do is just have you, Tasha's going to write, I'm just going to have you list out some of the things that we have done in this past year by way of activities. And there's doesn't have to be in any order, but just start listing them out. What have we done this last year?
Activities. What kind of activities? Like social activities?
Social? Yep.
Community service activities?
Yep. Anything. So like, I'll start, Sunday morning worship. That's one of the activities that we have. We do that pretty much every Sunday.
Ladies and men's Bible studies.
Okay, ladies and men's Bible studies. Good.
Men's breakfast.
The men's breakfast.
Bunko.
Bunko.
Drive sale.
Garage sale. Carol's doing great. No, don't be quiet. Keep going. Other things we've done.
Strengthening families.
Okay, strengthening families.
In Olathe and that KCK.
Yep.
Mentoring.
Mentoring. Good.
College of Trades.
College of Trades.
There's a game night on every other Friday night, I believe.
We did for a while. We had game nights. The Fall Festival.
Mm-hmm. Paul fixing cars.
Paul fixing cars. Says one of the customers.
We used to do Snow Brigade. But this year we haven't done it because it hasn't been organized by the city, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know what's gone with that. But you're right. Put down Snow Brigade. Even though we haven't done it this year, I think we did it last winter.
Maybe once.
Yeah. Well, we didn't have much snow last winter. Paul did participate. So Snow Brigade is still ongoing. That was in Olathe, just not organized by the city of Olathe.
That's why I had 15 donuts afterwards.
Oh, that's why.
Supporting each other, just offering support that we wouldn't have other outside of being together in this church.
Okay.
I don't think you can underestimate that.
No, but give me. Okay, let's just put down supporting each other. Are you talking about through one-on-one and small group interaction that's not necessarily organized small group? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean just life events, crises.
Hospital ministries that all, you know, different people have done.
Hospital, helping with moving, doing things like shoveling at the house. I mean, all those things. I get it. Yeah. Maybe unplanned community supports.
And Cedar Lake.
Okay, Cedar Lake.
Fall Festival.
Got Fall Festival.
Pretty Not birthday parties. I love birthday parties that we've all gone to.
We have done some birthday parties.
And baby showers.
And baby showers. See, this is good. Keep going. I'd forgotten about some of these.
Fifth Sundays.
Yes, Fifth Sunday Fellowships.
Pancakes.
Yes, pancake breakfasts. Christmas Eve. Even though we didn't do that the last year, this year. We can still put that in.
The time for the kids has become more organized thanks to the folks who do that.
Planning meetings. Yeah.
No, like with the kids.
Oh, for the kids. Yes, yes. The kids' activities downstairs, Sunday mornings. Board meetings.
Board meetings, the formation of the Engage team. And
board meetings and the Engage team meetings.
Oh, yeah.
What was that?
Come on, Diane.
What?
I said Carnucopia or Chocolate
Thanksgiving. Yeah, Carnucopia and Chocolate Thanksgiving. Those are...
I mean, you... was it this last year that you got that certification to do kind of reentry training for...
Offender Workforce Development Specialist stuff? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what I'd like to do is... we're going to reread this list. And what I'd like for you to do is let the whole list be read. And then I'd like for you to think of the two events that you think were the most important for our church. Okay? And just hold those in your head for a minute, and we're going to share those. And it's okay if you share one that somebody else has shared. In fact, that's great. If you do. But what I'd like to do is go back through this list and then talk about which one of those we would say are the top two. You can even choose three. I'm not going to be really rigid, but let's think about which ones are the top. Tasha?
Read the whole list.
Yeah, it's a whole page, by the way, which is really kind of surprising. When you start thinking about this wonderful little church we have, we're a pretty busy group. Okay, go ahead.
Sunday morning worship, men's breakfast, bunko, garage sale, Bible study for men and women, mentoring, strengthening families, Olathe and KCK, College of Trades, game nights, fall festival, Paul fixing cars, snow brigade, supporting each other in unplanned life events, hospital ministry, Cedar Lake cookout, birthday parties, baby showers, Fifth Sunday fellowships, pancakes and PJs, kids' church, board meetings, engaged team meetings, chocolate Thanksgiving, Carnucopia. I added the ARC family picnic and workforce training.
Good ad, by the way. All right, you heard the list. Shout it out. Top two or three?
College of Trades, strengthening families, and mentoring.
Okay. Keep going. I'd like to hear from most of us.
College of Trades.
Okay.
Sunday worship. I don't know what to do without it.
Well, Sunday worship's very important, and then I think the garage sale was too because of the money we always raise.
And watching everybody pull together and work together is pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm.
I think College of Trades, when I think about the things that I've been involved in this church, fixing a car is just, it's a temporary quick fix, and the person's back out on the road and everything's fine. Shoveling somebody's driveway, you know, within 3 or 4 days around here, it's going to melt anyway. But so it's a good thing to do. But what has really impressed me was, and I've been a part of the interview process, for a few years now, and I see these people who are broken, they're hopeless, they've been beaten down by life and bad decisions, they've got nowhere to go. And we have these people now who are, and Dennis just gave me some updates this morning, and he, if you guys are interested, really corner Dennis and get everything you can from him, because there are people that are not just getting by, you know, like when I fix a car, it gets them to work and back. These people are thriving. They're actually seeing that there's a future for them. And when Jeremiah talks about being, you know, we're going to be given a hope and a future, what happens in College of Trades is lifelong impact. I mean, these people, the worst example I can think of is the woman who was kicked out of her house at the age of 13. She was on the streets doing whatever a 13-year-old girl has to do to get by on the streets. 33 is when we saw her. That woman not only excelled in welding, got a great job in welding, and now is going to be training people. I mean, oh my gosh. What has happened in that woman's life is just not so far beyond fixing a car or shoveling a driveway. You actually give them life. It's an amazing thing. And Dennis has got a whole bunch more examples of it. But Angela's the one that really sticks out in my mind, because I remember there are times when we interview and when the person walks out of the room, we look at each other and just want to just fall apart. I mean, it's just horrible what you're seeing. This is one of those people. She is on top of the world. Just amazing to me.
And the fact she can touch other people's lives now is like, wow.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really amazing. And one of the people is actually going to go and get, he's going to be a certified welding instructor.
Wow.
I mean, jeez, these are people who couldn't think through the next hour and are now thinking about what they're going to be doing next year. It's just amazing to me.
We should have recorded that.
What?
We should have recorded that.
Well, it's recording, and Paul's pretty verbose, so I'm sure it'll come through up here.
Every word was gold.
It was. Other things. This is all good.
Not to downplay what we do in the community, because of course that's important, but I think it is important for us to be able to have times to come together and support each other. It's really important for me, at least, to be able to be in a room with people where there's mutual caring about each other and going towards a goal and connecting on a different level than you get to in any other place.
Are there specific activities that promote that for you, or just in general?
Sunday morning does, ladies' Bible study does, our fellowship activities that the Gage team coordinates does, even our texting back and forth does.
I'd say Sunday morning our prayer time. Like it's, I mean, it's helpful for those of us who share, but to have, to have people who are so open with the messiness of their lives, I think is reassuring to those of us who can't share that sometimes. Just to know that you're not alone. That's a big deal. Well, for me.
Well, this wasn't mentioned in there, but Lee, you can reach him any time of day, any time of night, early morning, and he'll be there. If you need him, he will be there. And I really appreciate that.
We should mention that we don't pay Lee for being a 24-hour pastor. Yes, he is a 24-hour pastor.
That's part of the joy of the journey. And it is part of the call. I want to be that. So, next week, what I want to do is I want to take these things that we've seen as highlights and just some of the opportunities that we've seen. I want to take some of the things that we are starting to see that are parts of the life of our church that we want to continue to do. The passage we read today is all about us putting these two things together and understanding that this is, in fact, God's design for us as a faith community. That we be a people who are engaged in living our full lives in the communities that God has put us into, and doing it in such a way that we are inviting God to bring peace into our city. And I don't want you to think about peace just as a matter of conflict, but think about peace as a matter of the presence of God that brings peace. That's what I want us to continue to be. The things that we've reflected on are all the things that we have been a part of. And we've all reflected on things that have high value to us in bringing that peace of God. Next week, we will continue to talk about this and have some more just scripture and devotion around the life of our church. The next couple weeks, we will do this. And then finally, in February, our plan is this, that I would like for us to choose two or three things that are important for us to make sure that we start planning for in 2019. A church that's 9 years old has already outlasted most of the church plants that happen in our denomination. But in order for a church to become 20 years old, we want to be listening to what God wants us to do so that this mission and the life of Christ the servant can continue beyond just the people that are in this room. May God continue to bring dreams and visions into our hearts of who we will be as a people.